Welcome to TMZ Live. Charles here.
Michael Babcock.
Here, did you forget your name for a second?
Wait, switch it up.
Yeah, all right. Cool. All right, we have the first images of Morgan Wallen on that rooftop bar, Chiefs, in Nashville, the night that police say he threw a chair off the sixth floor of this rooftop. It's still stunning to me, especially when you see the surveillance video of this chair and what could have happened. So this may give us an inkling of what was going on, because we have photos that show you just less than 2 minutes before he decided to throw this thing over. We're going to get to that. We're also going to talk about what he may be doing legally, because there is a precedent as far as this sort of crime in Nashville. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, these photos of him on the rooftop talking to someone that, according to witnesses, they described it as Morgan flirting with
a young lady. I'm honestly more confused after seeing these photographs, because it looks like he's having a completely normal conversation, as much as you can tell from a still photograph.
And having a good time.
Right, at 10:50, and then for the cops to tell us that at 10:53 p.m. is when that chair went over the ledge. What happened in those 2 minutes?
Right.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, like, the more time goes on in each day, it becomes more and more of a mystery, because, like you said, we have these photos that place him at the scene now on the actual rooftop. And not just that, but like just like Mike just said, literally minutes before he allegedly threw this chair over. And as the photos show, he looks like he's happy. They're laughing. There's a guy laughing in the group. Supposedly he was trying to holler at this girl and blah, 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 whatever, flirting, seemingly having a good time. And then all of a sudden he just threw the chair over the roof, apparently. So that's kind of, again, we've been saying the same thing for several days now, but why? Like, what exactly set him off, if anything? Or was he just being drunk and stupid? Because that's kind of what people are saying, that he was just being drunk and foolish. And if that's the case, that's insane and reckless.
Like, that's what we'd heard from that security guard that we talked to, said that there was nothing, he wasn't arguing with anyone, but we hadn't actually seen him on the rooftop, and it matches up.
It would have made more sense if he was flying off the handle and looked like he was PO'd, you know? But you don't see any of that. It looks completely normal, and then there was the chair.
Which makes you think, was it done in a braggadocious manner?
Right.
Which is even more beyond
reckless.
I think
I was picturing this fit of rage the whole time, and he throws it off as if he's angry about something, but maybe it wasn't that. That's a good point, Charles.
And I know that cops say that there's surveillance video that shows him doing this allegedly. You know, we'll see if that ever ends up surfacing or not. But I also wonder, was there nobody on the rooftop? Because people obviously took photos of him. Like, there were people around that knew he was there. We're also hearing that, like, one of the people in his entourage, a bodyguard or whatever, was, like, telling people not to take photos. Clearly, people were taking photos because we have these shots. Yeah. I wonder, did nobody actually get the moment he threw the chair off the roof? Like, you got to figure it would have surfaced at this point.
Exactly.
But it hasn't.
And the fact that it hasn't, I think, is evidence of how sudden whatever made him decide to do that, how sudden it was, the fact that there is
no image of it. Right, because if he was ramping up to do it, people would have been like, uh-oh, Morgan Wallen's getting going, let's start filming it, but that's not what happened. To your point, I think it was sudden, which again is sort of like shocking, like what exactly set him off? For now, we just don't know.
You know, based on that mugshot and also from what eyewitnesses have said, it does appear that alcohol was involved here. I don't know how much alcohol or how intoxicated he was. But we've been saying this for a couple of days, actually since the day it happened on Monday. I know Harvey said that he expected at some point this week you're going to hear Morgan Wallen say that he's entering either an inpatient treatment or outpatient, but that he'd be getting some sort of alcohol treatment.
Right, and not to be too cynical, but we've seen this happen before when people who are dealing with criminal matters.
And it's a thing that you do because it looks good for the court. Right. It shows that you are taking steps to improve. Now, that hasn't happened to this point. And what we're about to tell you makes me think it might not happen because there actually is a precedent. We were looking for, Broadway in Nashville is a very popular place with, it's lined with these type of rooftop bars. Right. So it seems strange that this never happened. It did happen a couple of years ago. Never heard about it. Wasn't anybody famous. But someone threw off the rooftop of Jason Aldean's bar. Threw a chair over, and it actually did hit someone.
Wow.
And the person survived. It was only the third floor instead of six.
Okay, I still could do some
damage. But still did some damage. Right. The woman was injured.
So what was the penalty, I guess, is the question?
The penalty, this person got 2 years probation. No jail time.
Wow. And Morgan Wallen, theoretically, is facing something like
Now, he had three felony counts.
Right. But they didn't hit anybody.
But I mean, didn't actually hit anybody.
You've got to imagine his attorneys look at this and say, obviously, this is something they're going to bring up. I mean, how could you not? It'd be malpractice not to. But if this other person is reckless, throws something off, could clearly hurt somebody very badly, and only gets probation, Morgan Wallen, far less serious.
So Morgan Wallen may be thinking, I'm going to be in that at least in that same situation. Right. I didn't hit anybody.
Can I be honest with you? I think he and his team right now are kind of trying to see and survey how big of a deal is this in the public eye right now. Do people actually care? Is it over? Will it blow over? Yeah. And I think, because look, when the N-word thing happened a few years back or whatever, remember it took him a little while to put something together, and he finally came out with a statement, said, I'm going to do some counseling. I'm going to start working with these organizations, et cetera, et cetera. He did everything he had to do PR-wise. It took him a little while to come out with that. And I think they're doing the same thing now, trying to like huddle together, figure out how big a deal is this really in the public eye. And eventually he'll come out and say something, or maybe it'll actually blow over and he can just move on. I don't know.
Well, he's still going to have to face the charges.
Legally.
And who knows if they get reduced or not. But May 3rd is his next scheduled court date. That also happens to be the same night he is performing in Nashville. So that's oddly convenient.
Hi, my name is Brandon Lance Garnsey, and I'm from Sherman Oaks, California. I just would like to point out a very interesting observation I made about Morgan Wallen and other male country music artists like Blake Shelton, who I love. They always talk about alcohol and being drunk, but let's look at the female country artists like Kacey Musgraves, who have dynamic lyrics about their relationship with their mother and mental illness. Even now with Beyonce stepping into the country music scene, dropping an album that means a lot to culture and society and young kids that look up to these celebrities. So Morgan Wallen, please go to therapy and do better and just stop being a reckless mess.
All right. I don't know if it was said to him that way by people in his on his team, but probably something
of that
tone. Stop
being a reckless
tone.
Mess.
Yeah. All right, moving on now to Travis Kelce, who we've been expecting some showbiz news from him, right? He's been out here in Hollywood for several weeks now.
Yep.
And we have a hint here about what gig he's landed, and it comes courtesy of his barber. He was getting a haircut yesterday. By the way, interesting that he has his own smock with his Chiefs number on it.
That's, I didn't even notice that, Charles.
Yeah, travels with his own smock.
Yeah. Right, not only his own barber, but...
But there was something in the background when... that he was looking at on this monitor, apparently, while he was getting his haircut. Are you smarter than a celebrity? So.
We had kind of known this was coming for a couple weeks now. I remember the reports a few weeks ago that he was in talks with the producers of the show about maybe potentially hosting it. Now, it's still unclear if he actually has the hosting role, if he was appearing as a contestant on it or whatever. But one thing remains clear. When they were talking New Heights last week with Arnold Schwarzenegger, they made it clear they want to be in Hollywood in some way, shape, or form. And this just appears to be the entryway for Travis.
I think with the initial reports from a few weeks ago, which we covered, and now. This, I think the evidence, it's right.
Probably hosting.
It seems
they are shooting
obvious.
Episodes today. Later this afternoon, they'll be shooting.
Right. And,
so.
And you might want a fresh cut, right?
Right.
If you were going to host a TV
you
show.
You would definitely want to get a fresh, but you'd also want one if you're going to be on it as a guest.
True.
But you might not have your own smock.
Stop ruining my theory, please.
Well, you might not have your own smock. I mean, the fact you have your own smock means you're hosting, right?
Serious business.
They don't do that for just guests who come on. So we'll see. Probably by tomorrow we'll know for sure because they are shooting episodes today.
Right.
One other thing about Travis Kelce on New Heights, their podcast, he and his brother Jason, they talked about and acknowledged that their lives have changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. Their podcast has changed dramatically as far as the number of people tuning in because of all of Taylor Swift's fans.
Right.
They acknowledged that. They had Lil Dicky on, and Travis had to acknowledge something else about hooking up with Taylor Swift.
We've got a lot of new fans. Not sure if you've heard of them. They're called Swifties.
Yeah. I've heard all about them.
For those that
How
don't...
How you guys doing with all this?
It's, listen, it's fun, not though. Changed that much for me, but for...
I'm having a blast in life, baby.
Yeah.
Just flying high.
As you should.
Enjoying it all. Bringing new lives to the football world.
And yeah, I think it's the best thing ever.
Opening the football world up to new things.
I love it. But I think a lot of people who would maybe expect to hate on it actually love it, and they acknowledge they love it because it's just so, there's something so, American about it or something.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, American, but there's something like just classic about it.
I don't know how I did it because she does not. She wasn't into sports, so I don't know how I did it.
Well, you did it because you called her out on your multimedia platform.
I know exactly how I did it. Yeah.
I'm confused about his confusion about, even if she doesn't like sports, you're a 6'5", very handsome, very wealthy man.
Heard him acknowledge at the end of it. He's like, I know exactly how I got her.
Hi, my name is David. I'm with Beat Great, calling from Los Angeles. What I feel that a lot of people want to say is what's more entertaining about this is what's going on around the game with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's not really about the football. And I think that what Little Dicky was saying about the it feels so American, I think really it's more that it feels like a high school reunion. And that's the reason why we're so drawn to this, you know, like the popular prom king and prom queen in high school. We want to just be in tune with this relationship so much because they're just like the popular kids in school. But, you know, shout out to Travis Kelce. I'm sure he's happy. That's good. And he's going to probably make his transition like The Rock. Into acting and football and sports.
He would love that. Maybe Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity is the first step. The silence has been deafening, is the way some people have described the celebrity reaction to the federal investigation into Diddy after, really, ever since the day that his two homes were raided by federal agents. He's become toxic as far as Hollywood. There are so few people... Right. Speaking out either in defense of him or even just about the
case. It's like nobody wants to even utter his name, Charles. And for a guy, obviously, who's been famous for decades and has all of the celebrity contacts.
Right, has celebrity friends.
It's been nothing.
I mean, other than last week when we had Stevie J on here.
He's the one guy.
Right. And remember, Stevie J was right in the middle of, was at his home during the Miami raid.
Yeah.
So he's personally involved. But all of Diddy's friends... been pretty silent. We actually ran into one of them in New York City yesterday, Jason Derulo. And Jason Derulo and Diddy have worked together in the past. So we asked him about this, about why he felt people were remaining silent at this point. Here's what he had to say.
I know that you worked with Diddy, you know, and he's helped your career a lot. Do you feel like people should be giving him some grace, or at least giving him the grace of, you know, saying, you know, he is innocent until proven guilty?
I believe in that. Believe in innocent proven guilty. Sure.
Do you feel like they're kind of like
going
too hard on him, maybe? I appreciate you. Thank you, Jason.
I do think it's interesting that he wouldn't say anything more than that.
Right.
And yes, there's the part where he said, I believe in innocent until proven guilty. I think the bigger part of that is how little he wanted to say.
Right. I completely changed my mind on this. At first, I thought, okay, he's getting support. But yeah, it seemed like he wanted to be as far away from that question as he possibly could have been, Charles.
And you can hear his handler saying, let's get in the car. They don't want him to say anything more than the most obvious, which is someone is innocent until proven guilty. But it's interesting with Jason because of his history with Diddy. You know, he wrote songs for Diddy back in the 2000s. Diddy really helped launch Jason Derulo. So you might expect someone like that to really get in his corner. And from the looks of that soundbite, nowhere close.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, you know, Jason Derulo probably wouldn't be who he is right now if it weren't for Diddy and the help that he gave him as he breaks into the industry. But, Charles.
This is a case of, look, I think folks, as much as they admire Diddy and enjoyed working with him or partying with him, the fact is, you don't know what you don't know.
It's glaring, though, that there's been no character witness. Come out and say, I don't know what happened. I wasn't at the parties, but I know Diddy to be a good person. X, Y, and Z. Here's what. That hasn't happened. Nobody.
It's hard to imagine it because no one wants to sort of board what they perceive to be a sinking ship in cancel culture. And they're like, I need to save myself and get a lifeboat. I'm not going to get on board with Diddy, even if he is clean.
And if you believe that there is something to one or more of the allegations, you also don't want to say that because if he does not get charged, does not get convicted, and then everything
blows over.
There could
be some retribution on the other side of this.
Right.
I will say this, too, and it goes to show you this could be also why celebs not speaking out. Jason Derulo says what he says to us. Already, he's getting trolled online. 50 Cent blasting him online.
After him.
So if you support Diddy, you're going to get called out.
Yeah, and to say that what Jason said was supporting Diddy is very, very
It was sort of just, I support the most basic tenet of our legal system.
Right. But that's about all you're hearing from people these days.
My name is Sergio Della Vici from Brooklyn, New York. Although Diddy has so many allegations against him, nothing yet is set in stone. you are innocent until proven guilty. So I do agree with Jason Derulo's statements. Besides, Diddy did help Jason Derulo get in the industry. You know what they say, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's not even charged with a crime at this point.
So yeah, I know, but we're saying like...
Crumb, right?
Right.
It's not even a charge.
Right, hasn't been charged. So we'll see if that changes at all in the coming days. All right, moving on now to Conan O'Brien, who had a homecoming of sorts when he went on Jimmy Fallon's show last night. So we got him outside 30 Rock, a place that used to be his home base way back when he was doing Late Night.
Yeah.
This is where he went, and we asked him about, you know, going back. Does it feel weird after so much time?
It ended badly, too.
And it ended badly. The Tonight Show part ended badly.
The Tonight Show part.
Interesting. He shot the Tonight Show when he was in L.A. So they had,
interesting.
Right. So
wasn't even there.
Exactly. But he did his show before he did the Tonight Show when he was on Late Night. It was at 30 Rock. So here's what he had to say about returning to his old headquarters.
Hey, what are you feeling right now, going back into, you know, NBC and going to sit for the Late Show? Like, how
I'm
feeling?
Excited. I'm really excited. I have a lot of really nice memories of 30 Rock, and it was just a big part of my life, and so it's so nice to go back, and I'm a fan of Jimmy, so it's all good.
I think my hair
looks good.
Did you have any like hesitation about going on, or did you just say yes straight away?
Yes, you know, but I need the work.
One last question. Some people are saying that late night talk shows are on the decline. How do you feel about that statement?
I think as long as there are talented people, all the hosts right now that I know are super talented. Excuse me, what? But these are checks I'm signing. As long as there are talented hosts, they're going to be present in some form.
And
still funny.
By the way, he was funny on the show. He talked about the fact that I guess Kelly Clarkson's show is now shot in the studio where he did Late Night.
Right.
And talked about running into her and just being playfully angry.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we remember, he replaces Jay Leno. Jay Leno goes and gets his own show. Maybe it doesn't do so great. He comes back. That's not a good moment for
yeah,
Conan
as far
O'Brien.
As how things went with NBC, right. It wasn't good with him.
I mean, it would be awkward for anyone to come back to the workplace where you worked for almost 20 years and then did, you know, a show or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think he was just on here to promote his podcast. I don't think he's making any play to, like, get back into the late night hosting gig.
Yeah.
At least it didn't seem like that on the show.
What about, talk about Ultimate Revenge, though, if he did.
We asked him if he had any hesitation to go on. He's like, no, I have a job now that I need to promote, so of course I'm going to go on. But wishing the best for Conan. By the way, did you see him on Curb?
No, season? I did not.
He had a small but very funny role on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Hey, TMZ, Jason from Chicago. Just want to say I always loved Conan, and it's great for him to be back on TV. I thought he was the best out of the main four late night shows. But we all saw what happened with him and Jay Leno and NBC and the fallout. And it sucks that the NBC execs didn't give him, they didn't understand his brand of humor, and they didn't give him enough time to grow his brand and make it a popular show like it was when he did the late night show.
Yeah, you're right. It was a very, very short leash. They were panicked about losing the audience that they had with Jay Leno. So some really disturbing video now that was released by a parent in the Denver area because she found evidence that her son was being beaten by a school bus aide. Oh, it's really
hard to watch.
Now, the school bus aide has been, she's been arrested because of this video. And this video went viral this week because the mother of the student you see there, Jessica Vestal, she decided that she wanted this to come out. And I have to say, as difficult as it is to see it, I think it's a really good thing that she did put this out because, as it turns out, there are some other students who were also coming home with mysterious bruises. And now I think those other parents are looking into what is going on, what had been going on, and for how long it had been going on this school bus, which is a bus for special needs students. So the students, like I said, the school bus aide has been arrested, and now the parents are looking into what more happened here and whether or not there is any legal action for them to take Joining us right now are two moms who are involved in this. As I said, Jessica Vestal released that video, and Brittany Yarborough also has a son who has suffered some injuries that she believes may be connected to what happened on that bus. So Brittany and Jessica, thank you so much for joining us on TMZ Live.
Yep, thank you for having us.
First of all, our sympathies for what you are going through. And Jessica, I'd imagine that this wasn't an easy decision to come forward and release this video showing your son being attacked by this woman. But tell us how you came into possession of this surveillance video from the bus and why you decided to put it out.
I got the phone call from the sergeant from Littleton Police at around 11:30 on Tuesday, the day after this video took place. And I went to watch it for myself, and I actually asked the director if she could record it for me so that my husband could see it in his own time. And I'm glad that I did that, because I wouldn't have ever seen it had I not done that until this case was over. So that's how I came to have it put it out, for the exact reason that you just said, because our kids are nonverbal and there's no way to confirm what they've seen or what happened to them without seeing this video and comparing injuries, because a lot of other moms' kids have injuries. So if they look like Dax's, then it's kind of a scary situation to be in, but worth looking at.
Yeah, for sure. We should, if you hadn't, Dax is autistic. And Brittany, I know you said that your son also came home with injuries. What happened to him? And have you requested surveillance video as well?
Yes. So my son started coming home with unexplained injuries in September, end of August, September. That picture of his ear is one. He came off of the bus with his ear bleeding like that, with no report from the school bus of what had happened. I think the biggest thing was a broken toe. He started limping one day, took him to the hospital, and he had a broken toe with no inciting incident or anything that happened at home or at school that we thought could have caused that. Unfortunately, we've been told that the video footage only goes back 8 weeks. I have not heard from investigators. They're still viewing all of that footage, but I haven't heard from investigators if there's any assaults on Hunter in those 8 weeks. But because the bigger injuries that we're concerned about happened last fall, we may never have proof of that. And that's really difficult.
Brittany, Jessica, did you have any suspicion that something like this was wrong, obviously, when the boys were coming home with the injuries? And do you believe that the school, that the district, could have done something to prevent this from happening to the boys?
For instance, why weren't they looking at that surveillance video and stepping in before you brought it to their attention?
Yeah. So with kids with self-injurious behavior, which is commonly abbreviated as SIB, they get upset, and the best way for them in that moment to communicate those frustrations is to take it out on themselves. So it can result in injuries, and it's very easy to mask abuse as self-injurious injuries. So in January 10th was the first time that I had ever thought someone has done this to him. This is not a typical SIB for him, just by the placement and the severity, because someone is always there to intervene. If he does get upset, I'm right there to, you know, block or change the scenery, and same thing at school. So the fact that he was covered in bruises sent alarms off for me. And we started asking questions and, you know, making sure everything was documented. And had those videos been audited, literally ever, this could have been stopped months ago.
Well, it's obviously a good thing that you came forward. And Kiara Jones is the aide who has been not only arrested, but has been fired by the school district. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope that you get some justice in the courts and also from the school district, because it's clear that there's something more that needs to be done that could have been done.
Yeah.
So thank you both for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Some things you think are just like too horrific to actually happen. And I know the video is tough to watch, but I think it's important.
It's, you know, the thing that's obvious, there's a reason those surveillance cameras are there.
Right.
And if nobody's ever going to look at them, then why do you even have them there? Weird.
Seems inexplicable.
All right. We are going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to be shifting gears. There is some evidence that maybe Kim Kardashian and her ex-husband, Chris Humphries, have smoothed things out. We're going to show you who she was. I know, they were only married for like 2 minutes.
I know, but I never thought I'd hear that sentence.
We're going to show you who she was hanging with last night at the Laker game, sitting courtside. Welcome back to TMZ Live. Kim Kardashian had a brush with her past when she went to the Laker game last night. She was sitting courtside, Natch. Now, it wasn't involving Will Ferrell. I guess you could say it's Will Ferrell adjacent, quite literally here. But the guy who's sitting between Will and Kim is a very close friend of Chris Humphries. And you may be going, why do I know that name, Chris Humphries? Oh, that's right, Kim's ex-husband. The guy she was married to for, what, 72 days?
Yep.
But that guy who's sitting next to her is Peter Cornell. He was a groomsman.
There he is.
Yeah.
You think that this conversation would be slightly awkward. Obviously, he was one of Chris Humphries' best friends, best enough for exactly what you guys said. He was a part of the wedding. But they looked very chatty, looked kind of flirty. It was a very animated conversation. But you gotta wonder, like, what is happening here? Of course, he is, like, so good looking. I feel like anybody would want to chat him up anyways. And he actually was a basketball player. That's how he knows Chris Humphries. Now he's a real estate agent. And if you guys also recognize the name, it's because in Selling Sunset, Christine and Emma, they like were fighting over this guy, and there was like a whole bunch of drama about like if Christine was engaged to him. And anyways, he was a part of that as well. So yeah,
I'll say this, and that I hadn't even considered the dating stuff, but I think it obviously shows that Chris and Kim are okay. I don't think necessarily.
So?
What would one of your good buddies?
They might have had a conversation.
Smile and have.
I'm sure they had a conversation where it was like, "Oh, what, how's Chris been?"
I mean, I know you remember this, Charles. This was hell on Chris Humphries. I remember how he was treated as he even when he played his NBA games. But maybe
no.
You don't think so? I mean, it wouldn't be that. Like, talk about violating bro code. But
is it still? No,
I think so.
No,
if your boy was married,
there's got to be a latch.
No, there. It,
by the way. No. Peter was actually really like involved with Chris and Kim because Peter actually helped them buy their house as well. So he was like really involved with them. But I mean, you always have your alliance to your buddy, right? So his alliance for sure is Chris. I don't know that this necessarily means that Kim and Chris are on good terms. I think maybe it's just like they're both courtside. They know people are going to be photographing them, and they want to look like they're on good terms.
Looks pretty flirty.
Look, Will Ferrell's like, can I get in on the conversation? Like, hey, I'm over here. What about me? Peter Cornell and Will Ferrell were both in, obviously you know that Will was in semi-pro.
Yep.
Peter Cornell was in it also. At 6'11". You know, when they're looking for basketball players, it's pretty easy to get that gig, I guess.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Alfonso. I'm in Maine. I don't think this is... like Kim. Kim likes her men with melanin in them, and Peter has none. So I don't think it's anything serious, in my opinion.
Well, from what we're hearing, it is not anything serious. Yeah. But to your point, though, I will remind you of a guy named... who does not have melanin? Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, Pete.
Another Pete. Interesting.
Good point.
Interesting. Mm. Pete's without melanin of the next TMZ. All right, moving on now to Isla Fisher and Sacha Baron Cohen. You know, of course, they announced that they were splitting up, and she is now confirming this because we hadn't seen them out together in a long time, really hadn't seen them out much at all.
No.
She was seen today in London out for a dog walk, and... no ring, as we would expect, because they made a joint announcement that they were getting divorced. So clearly, this has been in the works. The photos really just
right.
The
people
that.
Suspected it. The joint statement, obviously, no wedding ring. It's
just a very low-key photo of her. She's wearing slippers, I do believe.
On the road, too, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. It's over in London, so I'm not really sure of the, like, the culture over there when you walk your dog. Yeah, she's got some coffee.
Do you put on something other than bedroom slippers?
And it kind of looks like she's wearing like a pajama set too. It's like a matchy-matchy set. So anyway, she's out walking her dog. And, you know, they did announce that they filed for divorce together. However, the reason for the divorce was not ever given. So this is all coming on the heels of all of the Rebel Wilson stuff that was coming out. So we don't know if that has to do with something with it. But, you know, it was definitely on the heels of it. And this is the first time, like you said, you've seen her out. They've been very private. They rarely ever share photos of themselves together if it's not on a red carpet. And they also just keep their children very private because they do share three kids together.
I don't know anything about the British dog walking culture, but it is common if you'd stay in your pajamas if you're just going a block or two from your house.
How about the slippers, though?
Yeah, you might do that.
But she also stopped for coffee.
In LA, we just go barefoot.
She stopped. Yeah, good point, Nick.
Oh, yeah. She went out for
like
coffee.
That. I don't like the pajamas thing at places. Stop that. Please. You, now.
Not bothering you. By the way, Nick, you mentioned Rebel, and she was talking about Isla Fisher when she was on Watch What Happens Live last night. They're playing a game one of the games that that they play on that show. Here is the question that she got regarding Sacha Baron Cohen, whether or not they will ever work together again.
How much money would it take for you to work with Sacha Baron Cohen again? By the way, you can plead the fifth to one of these questions.
No money. Ever. Yeah. No, I have now a no policy with work. Yeah.
$20 million, you would not.
No.
$30 million, you would not. $50 million to do a film with Sacha Baron.
$50 million.
Wow.
What I really want, now I want Andy to have Sacha Baron Cohen on and see if there's a number for him. I mean, I'm not surprised that she said that.
No.
I suspect Sacha would say the same thing, but. Who knows? That did not go well between them. No.
Hi, my name is Meredith Constant from Colorado, and I'm feeling a little red for filth because I left my house today in my slippers. But I think Isla, without her rings, is simply game, set, match on this relationship.
Celebrity podcasts are incredibly popular, and I think I understand why now. It's not just because of the celebrity. I mean... you pick the celebrity. Everyone's doing a podcast these days. But I think what makes them so popular is what you're about to hear from Kate Hudson's brother, Oliver Hudson. They have a podcast together called Sibling Revelry. Kate wasn't on this particular episode, but Oliver was on with Blake Lively's sister, Robin Lively.
Okay.
And it's, I think the reason people love it is that in order to do these podcasts, they have to talk about something, and the only thing they talk about is themselves. And Oliver Hudson decided that on this episode, he was going to make a confession about cheating on his wife.
Wow.
And why he did it and how they got through it. Listen to this.
When I got engaged, something happened psychologically and I spiraled, you know what I mean? And I was unfaithful and I was cheating and I was crazy. I never got caught. I told her everything because I couldn't. Live with myself and, you know, get married and be married and have children with this sort of weight. I told her everything. And she's an amazing woman, you know, and my mother played a big part in it as well. We were able to sort of therapy and, you know, do all of it and get through it. And honestly, if that didn't happen, I don't know what kind of a person I would be, you know. So do I regret it? I mean, no.
No regret.
Wow.
Which I think was the point of the topic that they were talking about, was about having regrets in life. But again,
what are you saying? Why?
Why make that kind
of confession?
I clearly
am saying, like, this has made me into the person I am, but I would, one question, did his wife know he was going to say this? I would hope so.
Right.
Obviously, he made it clear she knew about this. He confessed all this, so it's not like she's learning this still. But to bring up what has to be
bring
very
it up publicly,
for her,
you would have to share that with her that you're going to talk about it on your podcast.
The timing seems really weird here, too, in the fact that this was like back in 2006, and it's now 2024. So why all these years later is he now?
That's where the podcast comes in.
Right. I mean, it's good publicity, but it is great, as he mentioned there on the podcast, you know, Goldie Hawn. His mother helped him through all of this. They went to therapy together once he confessed to her. So it's great to see they made things work, because I feel like most of the time you would see someone split over this.
Yeah, again, when celebrities have a podcast, the content is whatever is happening or has happened in their lives, and you're going to hear about it. Oliver also made a confession about Kate. Like I said, she wasn't on this episode, but started talking about his jealousy toward her.
Wow.
There's parts of me that wish I was further along, that wish that I chose career a little bit more over fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at my sister, my brother, you know, you have Blake.
Yeah.
There's always a part of me that's just like, man, why can't I do that? Why can't I want to do a role like that? I want to work with people like that. I want to make that kind of money. Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit that I have envy. It's just, damn.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, too, because celebrities, a lot of times, and I get why, they're guarded. So to hear these stories from people who are so close to them, I think it's fascinating.
Clearly.
I'm Lindsay. I'm in Indianapolis. I understand what he's saying about having to go through certain things in order to become the man he is today. Growth, I get it. Great. But he couldn't find another path other than cheating to get him there. And to have zero regrets about cheating on your wife because you're spiraling, it kind of seems insensitive at best and selfish at worst. I can't imagine that statement would make his wife feel very good about herself or their marriage. Like, why get married if you don't feel ready? Don't bring someone else into your spiral. That's doesn't seem very fair.
Yeah. To be fair to Oliver, there was more of the soundbite where he said he does regret causing pain to his wife or anyone else, but he meant regret about the decisions that he had made, even the bad ones. Here today, gone tomorrow. I know everyone really thought that the relationship between 21-year-old daughter of Kimora and Russell Simmons would have lasted her relationship with 65-year-old Vittorio
Sopp. I thought this one was for the long haul. I thought they were going to make it.
It's over. We just found out about it a few days ago that they'd been dating, but now they have broken up. And maybe family pressure had something to do with it?
I feel like it was definitely pressure from the family, from the internet, on both sides. They were both getting trolled. He's getting trolled because why are you dating a 21-year-old? She's getting trolled because why are you dating a 65-year-old? So whoever it came from, they heard it and they took heed. Now, what I am kind of wondering is, she kind of posted that she was feeling depresso espresso on her Instagram story. So I'm wondering, like, did they actually break up? Did he break up with her? Because if she broke up with him, she wouldn't post on her Instagram story that she's feeling depressed at the moment. So,
oh, yes, she could.
And yeah, no, you're not going to break up with someone and then go on Instagram and be like, I'm depressed. Like,
yeah, because you want the other because she wants him to know that she's sad about the breakup. Even if she broke up with him, she doesn't want to make it seem like she's just like, ah, the heck with that old guy.
She would look insensitive.
Right.
If she broke up with him because they were getting flamed, then she's still insensitive.
Everybody posts on social media because they want to present some sort of image, right?
Yeah.
They're not just doing it because, oh, they wanted to post something. It's always to make somebody else think something.
Hi, I'm Millie from Manchester in the UK. And in my opinion, this whole situation is just screaming learned behavior off the back of her mum and dad's controversial age gap relationship. Because in Aoki's eyes, she probably just thinks she's living her best Nepo baby life, completing all these fun little side quests when, you know, it's kind of learned family history.
It's kind of what kind of history?
Learned family history. It's happened in the past. Moore and Russell, it's a similar sort of vibe.
Wow.
Right, just following in the family footsteps. Well, I mean, Kimora and Russell lasted longer than...
longer than like 3 minutes.
Months.
Yeah.
Exactly. What else do you guys want to talk about?
Bernardo Villalona, Brooklyn, New York. Morgan Wallen. He's going to have to try to blame it on the alcohol and enroll in an alcohol treatment program as a form of mitigation if he wants to avoid any jail time on these three counts, felony counts of reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. So while that stainless steel chair didn't make contact with the cops, or with anyone else, it's the mere risk of it that prosecutors are going to seek to punish, and they want to make sure to deter that type of conduct.
Yeah, and by the way, the other part of it, we haven't seen the surveillance video from the rooftop yet that actually shows him throwing it. I mean, depending on what that video shows, he may need to, if it just shows nothing but reckless behavior, then he's definitely going to need to say that it was alcohol.
Also, the other guy who didn't get the big punishment, he was not Morgan Wallen. He's a giant superstar. Maybe they don't want to give him a slap on the wrist here.
Exactly. One more.
Hi, this is Pam from Manhattan Beach, and I wanted to talk about Travis and Taylor. He's always talking about how he's so lucky he got how he wooed her. I think she's the lucky one, down to earth, Midwest boy, and let's just hope there's not a breakup song anytime soon.
Yeah, we don't talk about that, Pam. We don't talk about the possibility of a breakup.
Which together. I learned a little earlier.
Yeah, we don't talk about those things.
Yeah, she's lucky. She's.
They're both lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this happens to you, Mike, but I have friends who like to troll me by sending me photos of certain celebrities, Lenny Kravitz, for instance, because we're about the same age, he's a little older, and they always go like, what did you do today?
Right.
And they sent, in fact, that photo was sent to me several times. Yeah, that's not gonna happen because we gotta look at Lenny Kravitz, not for me, it's not gonna happen. We gotta look at Lenny Kravitz's workout, and it is, don't worry about the weights.
Right, although that is impressive.
It is impressive. The dude's working out in leather pants.
No.
In a mesh tank top.
That's his look, Charles. I did not think even Lenny Kravitz would wear that to the gym.
I don't know how you work out in leather pants.
I mean, he's got all the money, so it doesn't matter, but you can't wash those things, I don't think. I've only worn leather pants a few times.
Wait, you have worn leather pants?
This show's almost over.
wait, when were you wearing leather pants?
Oh, at a time. In high school.
Yeah, you got to throw those out after the workout,
Lenny.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Come on. We'll see you tomorrow.